1 Timothy 4:13. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word. 1 Timothy 4:13. On this side can read along, this side can listen. Says this: "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." And then in Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, we'll read those. Joshua 1, 7 and 8. "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to stand behind the pulpit tonight. And Lord, I do pray that you'd help me as I preach. Lord, help me to communicate the truth tonight. Lord, the motivations on my heart. Lord, the things that, Lord, sometimes we have to stop and just take a look at, are we truly reading your word like we ought to? Lord, are we reading it all? Lord, are we distracted? Are we busy? What are we doing to make sure that, Lord, we're number one, that we're reading, but of course we're reading your word each day and getting from it and growing as a Christian. Help us to get motivated about that tonight. And Lord, to be convicted about that if we need it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, I'm going to get this little mic thing. Now, we'll go without this, Brother Klein. I think we can do that. And I teach all week long. That's what we do. Amen. And I brought some books with me tonight. I want to show you a little bit about what the young people do at school. Maybe not in their PACE work, but I've brought some books that they read at school. If you are, no matter what age you are, if you're past kindergarten, and actually all the way, can you remember all the way back when you were in kindergarten? How many of you can remember your kindergarten teacher? You can remember it. That is a neat time of life, all right? My kindergarten teacher was my mother, all right? And homeschooled, amen, at least during that time of my life. But you know what? I can remember the times that my mother started me in school, right? Kindergarten time. And the learning to read and that excitement that comes with that. And honestly, ever since that time, you enjoyed this this idea of reading. You remember that? I mean, those exciting times. Maybe you get to relive those with your children, or you have already relived those with your children a long time ago. And you remember when they were first learning to read, and probably you were impatient a little bit, all right? See, spot, run, okay? And all the other things of sitting there. But you know what? That is a neat process to watch, because they are excited about it, aren't they? And there's a joy that comes with that as a parent and as a grandparent even, and as an adult, just watching a kid learn to read. And that's a neat thing. And so, you know what? I think some of that is as a teacher that's ingrained in you, and ladies as a mother. But you know what? Dads as a father, we sit there and yes, there's times where we're tired and we don't really want to hear about spot running. But We can bear with it for a little bit as we watch our kids grow. And you know what? You know why that's so exciting? Because we know that what they're getting ready to do is they're learning how to eventually read this. And you know what? That is the most important thing. And we're going to talk about this matter. Here's the title of the sermon tonight. It's called Reading, Just Do It. All right? I hate to use Nike's logo, but it is something that they got a good slogan. Just do it. All right? You just serve some things in life. You could put anything you want to just do in life there, right? Work, just do it, all right? Reading, just do it. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. There isn't such a joy in life as honestly reading. And whether you're a reader or a not reader, this book is amazing. And that's kind of what we just read about. Here in Timothy, he tells Timothy as a young man, here's some things I want you to do. On that list is reading and exhortation and doctrine. And here in Joshua, we hear this command about the book of the law not departing out of your heart, that you should read it, that you should meditate it. This ought to be the number one. This is my favorite book. It should be the number one book that I read. It should be the book that I come back to the most. It should be my favorite book. Listen, it should be the most valuable book I own. And you know what? I don't mind owning four or five or as many of these as I can. You know why? I love this book. And you know what? I know that everybody has their, you know, maybe you have one Bible that you read every day and it's your favorite. It's all the same words, amen? You better not have seven versions, okay? All right? There's one for the English-speaking people, and I'm glad there's other ones for other languages, all right? I'm glad God's Word is preserved for every person to read. I'm glad of, you know what? We ought to pray diligently for are bearing precious seed. And those, I love it when those things come. You know why? I'm handling words, but I'm handling the words of God. And so we need to know that, first of all, reading's important. But also, I think if you're of any age, old enough to look around you, you know that in our society, reading is under attack. It is. The devil does not want us to read God's word. And one of the things, I pulled up a statistic, I put it here, and so I'm going to get it real quick. But currently, 45 million Americans are functionally illiterate. They cannot read functionally. That kind of makes sense. 3 out of 4 people on welfare can't read. That tells you something, all right? 3 out of 5 people in American prisons can't read, all right? I don't know how accurate some of these statistics would be. 1/3 of fourth graders can't, only 1/3 of fourth grade kids reach a proficient reading level by that time. 50% of adults can't read a book written at an eighth grade level. So if it's written past that, most adults can't. 45 million Americans cannot read above a fifth grade reading level. And I don't know where all those statistics come from, but there's more. You know, reading is important. You know, by age 2, it's important at a young age, even before they can read, that reading activity is good for their minds. By age 2, a child's brain is just as active as an adult's. All right. And by 3, their brain is more active, twice as active. Trust me, that makes a lot of sense. All right. You wonder why your 3-year-old has crazy stories. Mine certainly does. That's why. All right. And he's listening. I won't even go into that. That's a whole nother thing. All right. But listen, our minds, God created us to use the mind he gave us. And if we're not careful, we can obviously see in society, we can point to specific things. A few months ago, I preached an event about some of our ways we handle technology and the ways I handle technology. And the truth is, it comes from a conviction in my heart about how if I'm not careful, I slide into things that I shouldn't slide into. True, we are reading. Think about this. We are, you know, when you look for information, facts, and statistics, you do get all kinds, okay? You get plenty of people who would argue that, well, today's generation, we are smarter than the, come on. All right, you're going to tell me, you're going to read the founding fathers and the guys who wrote those documents and tell me that a 29-year-old me is smarter than some of those guys? No, no, sir. Okay, you know why? I rely too much on this stuff that comes in here and here. Whereas those guys, they did the same thing, but, you know, there was so much more thought. Listen, I thank God for the guys who wrote this, obviously inspired, but I also thank God for good men like these men who wrote many things down. And honestly, just the way society works is different. Okay. And so I understand that, as you know, as a person who can think, we might be reading more, but we're really just reading masses of information, and we might be reading more blocks of text. And guess what? More people are reading like this. Okay. There are tons of people. Well, one person says, oh, I read all the time. I read every single hour. Okay. I read my Facebook page. All right. I read my favorite blog. Okay. Whatever it is. That is reading. I understand that there is reading happening. Okay. I do understand that. But we wouldn't call that maybe productive reading, all right? Or maybe a little bit of it is, but the percent that is way outweighed by the percent that's, you know, that should be convicting to us, okay? You know what? The message tonight stems from a desire in my life to rekindle this desire, not only to read, but to read God's word more, all right? I encourage you to go back. I put this in my notes, but Brother Sam Gipp was here 2 years ago, and he preached part of our revivals. And one of the messages he preached was excuses why people don't read the Bible. And it was a great message. And he outlined some reasons people give for not reading the Bible. And the truth is, if you're not careful and if I'm not careful, we do sometimes make those excuses. I won't go into his message. I won't re-preach it. But I would encourage you to go back to listen to it and just see if you haven't made one of those excuses recently. Well, I didn't have time. I ran out of time today. Or I didn't read as much as I should because... And the truth is, we have a lot more time than we give ourselves credit for. And we ought to not just have more time, but we ought to make more time for God's word. That's what Joshua 1:8 says. If you go back there, if you want to, you can go there. It says, this book of the law, that's this right here, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. That means thinking about it. I mean, mulling over it, going over it, day and night, that thou mayest observe. That means you got to pay attention. To do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. That's a whole message in a verse. You want a prosperous, successful life? Read God's word, meditate on it, think about it, do it. All right? And that's a good challenge for us. But tonight, I want to challenge us, first of all, in God's word, but also in just in general, this matter of reading and some motivations to that. Number one, I want you to know the Bible commands us to read. The Bible commands us to read. We just read that there. 1 Timothy 4:13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And you're going to find more verses. You know, some of these other points, they're good. They're good ideas. But you're going to find more admonitions to read God's word in God's word than any other book. All right? A preacher can get up and preach all he wants, but God's word itself tells you, read me. Okay? It's literally walking around and it says, it's you know, Bible calls it wisdom. Go read Proverbs. Wisdom cries in the streets. It's yelling out. It's calling out. It's saying, hey, guys, wake up. Read me, read me, read me. But you know what? A lot of times it's sitting there saying, read me, read me, read me. And we're watching, 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 but we're not reading, reading, reading. Or whatever it is we're doing. Maybe we're just working, 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 and we're not reading, reading, reading. All right. Maybe we're just playing. Whatever it is we're doing, if we're not careful, that thing becomes a distraction from reading God's word. I'm guilty of it. You're guilty of it. All of us, no matter how good your current walk with God is today, it could have been better. Or it could be better. All right? Did you spend enough time this morning? You know what? And the truth is, sometimes we ought to walk away just thinking, man, I wish I could have read longer. I wish I could have done that more. But you know what? And I understand. Listen, schedule and day and life and things. But you know what? If I'm not careful, and there are seasons of life, we'll talk about this in a minute, but as you're learning to read, as you're developing this, listen, reading's a habit. Reading's a habit. It really is, and it's a practice, and it's all of those things. And reading God's word, listen, reading God's word is a habit, but it also should be a pleasure. It should be an activity. It should be a joy. There's all kinds of things reading God's word and reading other books can be, but especially God's word. You know what? When you're learning, guys, listen, you know what? It ought to start out as a habit. It really ought to start out as a routine. It shouldn't stay that way. And if you're truly reading and thinking about God's word and looking at it, it's not just a routine or a habit. It becomes a pleasure. It becomes a joy. It becomes an encouragement to your day. It becomes, you know what? The Bible talks about more than my necessary food. All right. And Brother Gipp even mentioned that in his, go back and listen to that sermon. I was listening to this afternoon, kind of cracking up. All right. He's a funny guy. All right. He's got a great sense of humor, but it was a very pointed and very good message with points of, you know what? We need to be reading God's word. And so the Bible commands that. Listen to what I love this verse because this applies to my life right now. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Boy, you ought to desire to read God's word. Like my two twin boys desire that little bottle. All right? They scream and scream and scream and they want their bottle. As soon as you get that to them, they are. They're happy as can be. You know why? They desire that milk. All right? They want that. Now they're getting to the point where they want everything else too. All right? Everything you're eating, it's exciting. But when's the last time do you have that hunger for God's word? Hey, teenagers, is God's word just something you listen to? At, you know, during chapel and during church, or you know what, you need to check your desire for the word of God. And the only way you get that desire is by daily. You know what? Listen, I can attest at times in my life I didn't have that desire. It was just a chore. It was just a religious list, to-do list thing. All right. But you know what? I can also attest to the fact that the longer I did it and the more I read it and the more I got to know God, by the way, through reading his what? Word, the more I wanted to do it. And so listen, newborn babes desire that milk. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved. We're supposed to study. Wait, I had to study something? Brother Young, you want me to go remember your message on wells and look up words in the Bible and all that kind of stuff? Well, you don't have to look up the word I looked up, okay? You can go look up your own word, all right? Go find something in the Bible and study it out, all right? Psalms 1:2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Man, somebody who is a reader is a Bible reader, ought to be a Bible reader. I know that there are readers out there that honestly they're not saved or they're not Bible readers. But let me challenge you today. There's times in my life I have been reading. We're going to get to that. But too much of something else and not enough of the Bible. Make sure you're reading God's word. Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. We can't just live day to day doing what we want, working and eating and working and eating and sleeping. we have to live by every word that what proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That ought to be, man, that ought to be your desire. I mean, I was just kind of not joking, but I was serious about the midweek service thing. This Wednesday night service is like a recharge to my system going through the week as a Christian, okay? But you know what? You can have that same recharge every morning, every night, every day, every time you look at God's word and read it. You know, if you take something with you in the morning and you walk around with it, and you know what? We don't all do that. We don't all do that every day. Okay, even if I do that, I don't do it every day where I always have that verse card. I wish I did. Brother Matt mentioned that verse he had last week in his wallet. You know what? But whatever it is I just read about this morning, I want to think about it and go over it in my heart. And you know what that is? That's keeping me going through the day. Does the Bible, let me ask you this, do you read the Bible enough to keep you going through the day? Or do you just read it enough to get you started? Let's think about that for a second. So number one, Bible commands us to read. Number two, we should read the Bible first and foremost. That is the most thing. Do not consistently, Brother Gipp said it this way, and I liked it what I remembered this morning. Don't read uninspired books more than the inspired book, okay? And I love reading. You go downstairs. There's a bunch of uninspired books, all right? Inspired in some way, but not the way this was, okay? We use that word inspiration, but we really, really shouldn't, okay? Inspiration is God breathed, all right? This book is inspired. Many other books are motivated by this one. And those are good books to read. But don't consistently read those books every day more than that one. Now, I say consistently because there are days where, you know what, I read my Bible and it's what I needed for the day and I got it out of it when I needed. And I might go read a big book of whatever. And I might read all my, you know, if you're in school, you're going to read a lot of paces throughout the day. You've got a lot of schoolwork to do, right? And so you do that. And then if you read anything at home, maybe you have read more pages of that than the Bible. But you know what? The Bible should mean the most to you. And don't get in the habit of becoming so, we would call it, you know, there's people who are, somebody wrote today we were doing scientific creationism. The kids write things. And she put, evolutionists are not smart. And I said, well, sometimes they're smart. They're just too smart for their own good. All right. And what it is what they're basing their smarts on. Amen. So don't get so smart that you don't read the Bible. Okay. So read the Bible. Hey, listen, you know what? Go back and read 10 pages of your Bible a day. That was the challenge that was given that time. And I don't know if anybody has done that or maybe that was part of your thing. But at least for that year, I remember I attempted, didn't succeed every day, to do that, to read those 10 pages of my Bible. Because if we're not careful, we read volumes of other stuff and we don't read our Bible. But number three. So number one, the Bible commands us to read. Number two, we should read the Bible first and foremost. But let's visit this again, okay? Because we live in a society now that not only do they not read the Bible, they don't read anything else. Or they don't know what a book is, essentially. All right? Now, you think I'm wrong, but think about those statistics. Think about some of the people you've met or interacted with. And think about the problems we have right now and today. Okay? Think about that statistic. 3 out of 4 welfare folks can't read. Can't read. All right? Now, I'm not downing them for that. Sometimes it's not their fault. I think our public school education system has messed this up. We've got decades of people not being, you know, but listen, you know what? It starts with some simple things like, number three, read history. Read history, okay? We ought to, last year should have reminded us, we should start reading history, okay? Don't get offended by that. Don't get convinced by the liberal media that history's bad. Christopher Columbus is evil. Okay, well, I had a girl in my school who would argue with me that, you know, listen, whatever you do, I don't want to go against you as parents, right? But I'll sit and talk to you about the goods of knowing the evils and the not evils of history, all right? You know, sure, he's evil, but let's not totally X the guy out, all right? He's part of what? History. We should know history, all right? And the liberals and the you know, Congress, and listen, stop letting the government tell you what to read, all right? Romans 15:4 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime are written for our learning. All right. Anything that's written before, if it's history, man, we can learn from it. Okay. And he's talking about the Bible, of course, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. I kind of like that verse though, because he's not just talking about the Bible. A lot of history, it comes from the Bible. Okay. Bible is recorded history as well as inspiration. And so we've got historical people in the Bible and he says, hey, all this stuff before is good for us to learn and learn from, but then let's keep reading the Bible so we can have hope in the future. And as Christians, we have that benefit of reading history but not being depressed by it, all right? But learning from it, okay? And going on. But listen, you know what? Hey, young people, do you know your history? Parents, do we know, do our kids hear the history, all right? Christians, we should know better. We should be reading history and apply it. Noah Webster said this, and I like it. It's about every child in America should be acquainted with his own country. He should read books that furnish him with ideas that will be useful to him in life and in practice. As soon as he opens his lips, he should rehearse the history of his own country. That's awesome. And we've lost that today. We don't teach kids history, but not only that, listen, parents, we can say that about the world, but what are we doing? All right, what are we doing? Are we getting our kids? You know, we're having a history fair coming up. I want you to come to that. That's going to be great. You know why we have the history fair? It's just one way that not at school, not in the paces, but at home with you, mom and dad. And don't do it all yourself, by the way, please. All right. You know what, though? Be a parent who helps that kid get those books. You know, I had kids tell me, mom ordered me a book about Betsy Ross, and I'm excited to read it. Mom ordered me a book about, you know, Francis Scott Key, and I'm ready to read it. This is good, because you know what? And this is funny that I had to put this in there, but it's, as a teacher, you just don't know. In the requirements I put, you must, capital M-U-S-T, read at least one book about your character, all right? Because you know what? With the internet nowadays, that's just the world we live in, all right? Me too, right? When I want to go find something out about somebody, I don't go down to the encyclopedias. Not anymore, all right? Mr. Google, he answers those questions, okay? And listen, even on there, you ought to teach your kids, you know, as they get older, they ought to learn how to decipher the confusing mess of information that's out there, all right? But you know how they do that? Through smaller chunks of learning how to understand history, all right? Listen, we got to be reading our history. Adults, we need to make that a challenge, all right? You know what? This is the time to plan for next year, okay? November, December, good times to plan for next year. You ought to put on your thing somewhere. I don't know if you're a reader. If you're a reader or not a reader, you ought to at least read one history-themed book for next year. Okay, pick one. All right, pick a character you don't know about. Pick a person in history. You know, pick somebody you haven't read. Go read about George Washington. Find out everything he said, and then you'll be wiser for it, okay? And you won't be duped like they are now, okay? People are being duped because they don't know history, all right? Literature is important. This matter of reading is important. Well, I'm good. I read the Bible and history. Okay. All right. That's not all there is. All right. It's just not. Now listen, I think in that order, that's the two most important. I think you ought to read your Bible and the Bible story. And I think you ought to know history because I think they work very well together. But I also think you ought to go through and you know what? There's some other tips. We're going to bullet point the rest of these. Okay. My family's good. I've covered my bases. We're good. We know our Bible. We know our history. That's good. But it's not enough. Especially some of us guys, we get in that mode, all right? We work hard for our families, we do things, and I know my Bible and I know my history, and that's all that matters. Well, listen, what about your kids? You know, what is it that they can read? Or do you just have, you know, this big, huge, thick volume of George Washington's life, right? Sitting, they're not going to read that, okay? You know, you have the Bible, but, you know, some of them, you know, that should be the number one thing you teach them. But what else do they read? What are they doing with their time? How are you helping your kids grow and read? How are you helping your teenagers grow and read? Hey, listen, I'm going to point out some books to you, you know, but hey, listen, let me just show you. At our school, we get to read Curtis Hudson, Resisting the Devil, John R. Rice. This is awesome. Okay, these are great books. You know, I know this guy, all right? Robert Ross, The Symphony, okay? All Satan's Apples Have Worms, John R. Rice. The Teenage Years of Jesus Christ. I think I know him, the author who wrote that. And The Seven Royal Laws of Courtship. And hey, listen, you know, Lincoln, The Words to Live By, Truths for Teens by Jack Treber, In His Steps, you know, Story About William Tyndale, J.C. Penney's Lines of Light. Hey, these are good books. You know, they're not inspired. They're not the inspired word of God. But you know what's neat about these books? Most of them quote the Bible all throughout. And they give Bible principles. Hey, listen, there's more than just the Bible and history. There's many good books to be read. And we as parents need to lead in this matter of reading and literature for our kids. And I know this is that school teacher in me, all right? And this is where everybody starts going, all right, I'm going to go to sleep. But listen, this is true. Literature helps your children at a young age. Okay, go read them, Dr. Seuss. You know, I won't eat it here or there or Green Eggs and Ham, whatever. Okay, all of that, right? But you know what? And I could be, you know, there's a little book that I was reading about. I read books about reading. I read about reading, all right? Now, how many of you let's be honest. How many of you are like that? Okay, you're like that. All right, we got a few. How many of you said that sounds horrible? Okay, good. All right, that's fine. This message is for both of you, all right? It's for the readers to say, okay, make sure you're reading this one first and some other things, okay? But it's also for the non-readers to say, listen, we got a problem today. And it's not just in the public schools. It's in Christian school kids who have, I asked them, now I can't, you said, Brother Young, this is your job. You're the teacher. Well, not necessarily. Right. In fact, actually, by and large, no, it's not. By and large, we have a structure at school. And yes, are you seeing this right here? Okay, that's there for a reason. Okay, that's part of what we're trying to do. But there's got to, teenagers, there's got to be something inside of you that, you know, it's hard to develop as a teen because it's almost too late as a teen. All right? Parents, there's something that happens when they're younger that you've got to work. I've got to work. Listen, this is except for me because you know what? I've got little kids who are 5 and under. They're just learning this. You know what? I stopped by and look, and Pastor said it the other day, Dads, how much time do we spend with our kids? Mom, how much time do we spend with our kids doing certain things? And you know what? I can say that some days I've walked home and been tired and just not. And you know what? That kid, you know what? Those little girls, you know, that little girl and those little boys need from Dad. They need Dad to open, you know, Dr. Seuss and read it to them. All right? Or the Bible and read it to them. They need Dad to read to them. Or at least they need to say, you know what? There used to be a day where it wasn't, let's turn on, you know, what it is you watch, okay? You know, Andy Griffith or whatever even, okay? It was, let's sit around and listen to Dad read. Boy, I mean, there's times that convicts me because I'm like, you know what? In our modern society, we're so busy, we're so doing, and you know what? We forgot. We forgot that there used to be a time where, you know what? Even just in the evening, Dad opened the Bible and read it. Okay, and in the morning, Dad opened the family devotions was a big deal. But even outside of family devotions, there was a day where, you know, the kids saw Dad read. Dad read the newspaper for his news. Now we watch TV. All right, one less way of reading. Okay, I'm not saying you have to go get a newspaper. By and large, those are not worth it either. Okay, the founding fathers had some choice words that I looked up about newspapers earlier today too. The media is not the main source of your information. It shouldn't be. But listen, literature and reading needs to be led by us as parents. It illustrates, there's just some things. Let me just tell you. Literature illustrates a moral lesson. That's where your illustrations come from in church. Okay? Most illustrations are stories. Sometimes they're actual facts that happen to you. But a lot of times, they're things that people, what? Wrote down and someone else read and we pass it on. And then we give those illustrations. That is a great thing to do. Hey, listen, we need writers too. Okay, we'll get to that. Literature gives a good context to history. Okay, how do you know about, I already knew most of the stuff Pastor was talking about with the Roman army. Okay, it wasn't because I was some nerdy little kid. Well, maybe it was. All right. But you know what? It wasn't just, you know what it is? My dad led in that. He loved history and military stuff. Okay. We did stuff, you know, we played board games that had more, you know, history in them than some people's books, all right? I mean, that's kind of what he did, and he liked all that kind of stuff, and, you know, and I admittedly, there are movies you can learn about some of that. You know, he was talking about, he watched the guys who do the reenactments, okay? There's a lot of ways you can learn information, but listen, colorful context to history. You know, I know about the Crusades because I've read a fiction book about the Crusades. That's cool. All right. I know about, you know, the founding of the Americas and the Revolution because I read fiction or historical fiction about those times. And I know that doesn't give you the perfect history, right? It's not just all dates. But you know what? As a young boy, that sucked me in. And I was like, that is cool. All right. Because it had fighting in it. All right. And fun war battles. And you know what, though? That's reading. It's important. Hey, listen, reading lets you meet different types of characters that you get to learn from. Their mistakes and their successes and their failures. You do, when you read a fiction story or a classic work or a story someone wrote, you find out who the villain is pretty quickly. Okay? Or maybe the villain's kind of hidden. And you thought you knew who it was and all at the end, what happened, right? It's the other guy. Okay? It plot twist, right? And all of a sudden, you know, that's... But listen, you know where kids get that nowadays? Scooby-Doo. Okay? All right? That's, you know... And I'm not against some of those things, but at the same time, I'm thinking, you know, when you tell the normal thing, you know, nowadays, literally, people are quoting great works of literature and great Shakespeare lines and quotes from the Bible. And you know what the kid says? Oh, I heard that in a movie one time, you know, or I've watched that movie. And you want to just shake your head and say, you do realize it was written by a guy. That's a book written by a guy a long time ago before the movie came out, okay? And I'm not again, you know, so be careful how you do that, because if you're not careful, even us as adults, we get all of our info and history and stuff from television, movies, and media instead of books, all right? So meet different characters. Hey, reading allows me to learn from wise men. Here's what the Bible says. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. There's another quote, and I think one of the boys in our school has this up on his desk. You will be the same person in 5 years you are today, except for the people you meet and the books you read. Charlie Tremendous Jones said that, or somebody else probably quoted him, all right? But either way, listen, the people you meet influence you, and the books you read influence you, and you're going to be the same person later as to what you did. And you know what? That's true. I can't go talk to Jack Hiles. I didn't even know him. Okay, I was alive when he was alive, and my parents were affected by him. But I can go back and read his poems. I can read his admonitions in his books. Hey, listen, you know what? I didn't personally know Brother Pastor Robert Ross. Many of you did. So when Pastor says something like that, I don't know him personally, but I've read his works. I've read what's been written about him. I've listened to some of his messages. And you know what that does? That helps me understand and know. Hey, listen, if you want to be wise, young man, you'd be wise. First of all, go ask the people that are still here. Okay? Talk to them before their book is written. All right? And hey, listen, older folks, let's and younger folks, all of us, let's write down some things. You know? The coolest thing, I'll just tell you this, the coolest thing is my grandmother, she passed away in 2012. She was 98 years old. And in 1998, I think my dates are wrong. But either way, she was 84 and she wrote down in a book, my aunt had given her these questions about her life. Grandma, when were you born? What was life like? All that kind of stuff. And my grandmother at 84 years of age, please listen to this because this is an amazing, if you're older in here and you haven't done something like this, help your family members forever. Write some stuff down. Please write some stuff down. All they were was questions like, when were you born? And you know what she did? She could tell you what the house looked like she was born in, that it wasn't standing anymore, that's on the county line of Jackson and Marion County. Okay, she's a Hoosier. She was born over here and raised here. And you know what? She could tell you, and it was amazing. And I didn't get to read that. When she passed away in 2012, I didn't get to read that. It was given to all my mom and dad and the other folks in the family, but I didn't get a copy. I asked my mom for a copy, and I've just been reading that. It's amazing. You know, she was born in 1913, okay? And so she's lived a long time. She's got a lot of memories under her belt, okay? Got a lot of things, but you know what? She even wrote on the front, I don't know if my memory's very good, but I'll try. And then she proceeds to write basically a book, all right? So that just shows you, listen, you can. While you can and when you can, man, let's write that stuff down. Let's read about it. Go read. You want to be wise? Go read wise men. Go read wise men. All right? We'll go through the rest of this real quick. Hey, listen, here's some do's and don'ts of reading and we'll be done. Don't let the world tell you what to read. Okay? Don't read only what you like. Okay? That doesn't help grow you. All right? There's girls who like, you know, God forbid, these romance or these loved up. Hey, listen, that's not good for you. All right? First of all, it's not good for you. But second of all, if that's all you're going to read, then you're stuck there. You're not growing as a Christian that way. Except for if it's this, because if this is what you like, read it all you want, all right? And you know what? Listen, but that's because it goes for everything. Why would you just, that's like eating the same meal every day for the rest of your life. Every meal, all right? I like pizza, but I'm not going to eat it every meal, all right? I'd want to, but that would really hurt me, okay? Same thing for your reading. Hey, don't rely on movies as your source for literature or history. We already figured that out, okay? Don't expect school to be the only place that children read. They need to read at home. Okay, do read outside your comfort zone. Do read outside your comfort zone. Pick up a book that you've never thought about reading. All right? Now listen, I know that you got to choose your time wisely. Solomon said the printing of books, there's no end. All right? There's too many. I looked up a number. It's huge. The Library of Congress has millions. Okay? You can't read all of them. Okay? Pick and choose wisely. Here's another one. Take book suggestions seriously. Take book suggestions seriously. All right. Why am I holding this one up? Because this was suggested by my pastor. Have you read it or have you not read it? All right. That's kind of convicting sometimes. Okay. Because I don't know how many times if my pastor says something once, I should want to do it. If he gets up and says it two or three or four or five, and just gives you the book for free, orders more so that more people can have them. And there was even one left back on the free table, I think a week or two ago, that table that's back there. Go read this book, okay? You say, well, I read it and I didn't get anything from it. Well, go read it again, okay? And pick two things that you liked from it. All right, that's reading a book. It's called Book Report 101, all right? You want to write him a book report about how much, that would be awesome. We should all just go home, revisit that book. Because pastors kind of been talked about, I want you all to go home, write a one-page report about what you learned, and then let's all mail it to pastor and see what he says, okay? No, I may be without a job after he comes back. All right. He's got too many pieces of paper to worry about than all that, all right? But listen, that is true, though. Take book suggestions seriously, right? If a good friend suggests a book that you should read, just read it. It's a good idea. Put it on your list, all right? If a godly person, a godly leader tells you to read a book, you really ought to pay attention, all right? You know what? I mean, if a godly leader writes a book, I want to pay attention. You know, there's authors that write stuff that I will, you know, Pastor is one of those, all right? Did God put a book inside of you? You know, there's people that write books that I will always go and read that book. I will do what it takes to get that book. There have been very few secular books that I get like that, but plenty of, you know, admonition, good books for me as a Christian that I have gone out of my way to do. And obviously, we're still going back to the Bible, okay? Read history. Do take time to read. You got to make time to read, and you got to force yourself to read. Both of those two things. Hey, listen, this is for the non-readers, okay? All right? You got to put a time. If you don't put a time, maybe you're a scheduler, but you're not a reader. Just schedule time to read, okay? Hey, listen, maybe you're having trouble with your Bible reading. Schedule a time to read your Bible. That ought to be on your calendar. You know how he says, make God first? You know, we get to January and the church stuff goes on the calendar first. You know, on your day-to-day thing, this should be first, okay? Now, I understand sometimes there's things that come before it, like, you know, getting up and getting coffee. Amen. All right. Making sure you're awake. Listen, some people would say, I can't function until I make a walk around the block. Then make a walk around the block. All right. I can't function until I go out. Listen, you know, I know some guys who they drive to where they're going to work and they park there and they're there 30 minutes early so that they can read their Bible. Because that driving and that getting ready and they're all ready to go, they're not going to be late for work, but they're there. And listen, they do make it a habit to always be there. Because guess what? If you make it a habit to be the 30 minutes early and you're delayed, you're only 5 minutes early, right? I mean, they make time to be there early so that, you know what? They have no reason not to read the Bible. And they have come up with, they've scheduled that. And hey, listen, you've got to make time to read and you got to force yourself to read. Jeff Fugit, my pastor growing up, said, I don't so much enjoy the reading of books. Okay, some of you might say, I don't so much enjoy the reading of books, but I do enjoy what reading books does for me. And that is the truth. Hey, listen, two other things. Leaders really are good readers. Good readers can become good writers. Go read this book again if you haven't about writing. But listen, hey, dads, we're supposed to lead our homes. We've got to make sure our kids sometimes at least see us reading, and especially reading God's word. Parents, our kids need to see us read. Hey, listen, you know what? This is where the conviction comes from me. You know, shut off that TV. Shut off the stuff that's distracting you. Make sure you have, listen, there's the evening hours. We're getting ready to go into winter. It gets darker earlier. Things start slowing down earlier sometimes, depending on what you're doing. But you know what? If you can, take a few extra moments this winter and let's read with our families. Hey, listen, pick a history thing. Teach your kids. You know, you say, Brother Young, my kids don't care or they don't like to. Dads and moms, we're going to have to step up in that area then. We have to, because our kids need to know who founded this country. And honestly, let me just tell you, at school, they just want to get their goals done and go home, all right? You know, that's not always true. I understand that and part of our job. But you know what? When you're at school, come on, you were at school too. And about 3 or 4 o'clock when history time rolls around and math has happened and English has happened and word building's happened and your brain's tired, all right, you're not as probably as sharp as you want to be, even at school, even kids. But you know what? Hey, open a history book, this history fair thing. Man, let this jumpstart something for you at home. And go home and be reading about somebody in history. Man, make that exciting. Make that the cool thing. You know what? You can do your own family history fair if you want. Okay? Maybe just a history project. Maybe just, hey, you know what? We're going to pick a missionary story. We're just going to keep reaching. My family used to read at devotion time. Dad would read Missionary Stories with the Millers. Anybody ever heard of that book before? All right, good little book. All right? And it's a great one. OK, Okay, there's other books like Dennis Corll. I mean, some of these guys have, there's good Christian authors who've written neat stories for kids that, you know what, me as a dad and you as a parent, we can take those things and we can read them to our kids. Hey, listen, we want our children to grow up loving God and God's Word. And you know what? Some kids won't read the boring parts of the Bible because they've never developed the habit of reading anything. And so if it takes me getting them to read exciting things and stories so that they love reading growing up, when they hit these parts of the Bible, okay, they're going to be fine. And they're going to read those because you know what? They've practiced and they've read and they've grown a love for this matter of reading. God wants us to. He commands us to. There's not really a good place to end, but we are at 8 o'clock, so we're going to end. Okay? Joshua 1, 7 and 8 talked about it. Let me read this to you. Deuteronomy. And ye shall teach your children. It's talking about the words of God. I'm not going to read all the verses before it. And ye shall teach your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. It's talking about God and His Word. That means everywhere I go, I want to try to make God's Word, reading God's Word, listening to God's Word, the center of my family. When I'm sitting in my home at night, when I'm getting up in the morning, when I'm going to bed at night. Hey, listen, I love how it says, when thou walkest in the way. And you do a good job of that, I'm sure. Many people pull up and they've got, you know, music playing and WYTJ. And you know what's neat about those is at the right times of day when they know people are traveling, they're almost always playing sermons or God's Word. And I love that. And so be listening carefully to God's Word. It says here, write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you, to do them, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in His ways, and to cleave unto Him. Hey, listen, I can tell you one thing about my mom growing up, is that reason I chose Joshua 1:8 is that was her favorite verse. My mom's life verse was Joshua 1:8. And she, I think it was her life verse as a mother raising kids. She wanted us to get that. You know, this book of the law, don't let it depart. Boys, read it. Make sure that this is a part of your family. Make sure this is a part of your life. And you know what? I can tell you that throughout our house, written on the, not the doorpost literally, but the wall, okay, were places where you could read scripture, where you could read books, where you could read, listen, there's books in our house. Okay, there was things like that in our house. When you walked in, okay, many people do this, but you walk in, you saw, often you would, eyes would be drawn to some kind of scripture somewhere. Okay, now I'm not saying, you know, listen, styles come and go and people like to decorate differently, but you know what? There ought to be scripture easy to read at the youngest of ages somewhere in your house. Hey, listen, let's fill our homes with good books, but especially the good book, the best book of all, the Bible. And we need this in our life. I need it in my life. My kids need it. The future, listen, the future of our country, I don't know about that anymore. It's kind of hard. It'd be hard to convince everybody to get on board with this. But it wouldn't be all that hard for Christians in this church to go home and just walk around your house and just look at it and just say, is my house a place where God's Word and reading are important? And if God's Word is important, that's good. But listen, let me just tell you, if reading's not important, then eventually God's Word won't be either. Because you have to read God's Word. Let's reading, just do it. Let's just do it as much as we can. Let's go back home and look at our life. Are we, am I reading like I ought to? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your Word. God, thank you for the challenge to read it. And Lord, I fail you so many times in not reading everything I should. Lord, not meditating on it, not following it like I should. I know that. And Lord, in my home, I need your help to lead my family in the right direction. And Lord, set the example of reading. Lord, not just reading your Word, but also reading wise men and walking with them and listening to what they say and helping my children and admonition. And Lord, help us to raise our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Thank you for your Word and the power and the comfort it brings. In Jesus' name, amen.